All right, let's open our Bibles, please, again to Colossians chapter 3. Open your Bibles again, please, to Colossians chapter 3. In the first session, we left off in verses 15, around 16, but let's go back to verse 15. It says here, "And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. Let it act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you are also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always." In developing and getting as much of this message out as we can, having to do with rediscovering the glory of God, we've touched on a lot of things, and so much so that, just like any other revelation from God, can bring you to a place where you're a little bit disturbed and a little bit concerned about whether or not you're making progress or where you need to be or not, and it can be a little bit overwhelming. But that's not how the Word of God is supposed to affect us, because we ought to be operating in a place where we have soul harmony. We have soul harmony. You know, the only way that you can really be troubled is to be troubled out of your soul. That's the only place that you can be troubled from, because your soul represents your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so if you will accept something that's not from God and it can enter into the place of your soul, then you can be troubled. You can be disturbed. But you have to accept it. Now, I'm talking about born-again believing Christians. You have to accept it. Now, people that are unsaved, they don't know anything else. They think they should live out of their feelings. They think that they should worry. They think something's wrong with them if they don't get overly concerned about things and begin to express that. But we are instructed in the Bible as believers to operate in a place where we have harmony in our souls, and our souls are going to be in harmony with what? If we're going to have harmony in our souls, what is it going to harmonize with? It's going to harmonize with our spirit, our born-again regenerate spirit, which is fine, absolutely perfect. Amen? That's the place where Jesus dwells. And so we ought to harmonize with Him in that spirit, in that state of peace. All right? And as we do that, then that peace will act as umpire continually in our hearts. The peace itself will. So we're instructed in another place in the Bible to follow after peace. Pursue it. Amen. Now you see why so many people get in trouble. Why they get out of the way. Because they're dealing with things that cause them to be disturbed. And they've counted it to be spiritual, so they give themselves to trying to solve things or trying to rationalize or find an answer. But you can't get it there because God doesn't speak there. Amen. He doesn't operate over into that place of trouble. See, He's a God of peace. Yes, He is. So whatever He speaks to you, even if He rebukes you, He does it in peace. Right. Yeah. It's just strong peace, that's all. You know, like peace like a river. You know what I'm saying? It's moving. Praise the Lord. It's strong. All right. So that peace will act as umpire continually in your hearts. What is it doing? It's deciding and settling with finality. Amen. How many times do Christians go back and pull the scab off of something that should be left alone? Amen. Go back and try to unplug, pull the scab off of, and get back into, talk about, bring it back up. Amen. If you can the worms, leave them in the can, bury them in a hole. Amen. Don't open it back up. Praise the Lord. It's just like forgiveness. Once you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Why you got to talk about it? Why you have to bring it back up? Isn't that right? I'm washed. I'm cleansed. I'm forgiven. And if you stay in a place where all you can do is remember what I did wrong to you, then you're the one that's bound. You're the one that's living in a poverty, you know. That's not a rich place. Amen. You get rich when you forgive and forget. Hallelujah. And move on. Peace is a strong thing. It's consoling. It just calms you. And that's where God wants you to operate. If you don't operate in the place of peace, you can't hear from God when you need to hear from God. Which means you're not going to be able to move with God when God's ready to do something. See? You got to be instant in season and out of season, so that means you're going to have to let peace rule. Amen. Oh, yeah. Because when peace is not ruling, then I will come up with another rationalized mode of operations that sounds good to me, and I begin to talk about my feelings. I begin to talk about what I think. Amen. And all of that gets you in trouble. Deciding, the peace does, as an umpire. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. See, questions are going to come up in your minds because you live in an atmosphere where you, like an antenna, are just picking up one wavelength after another. That's just the way it is as a human being. You're picking up wavelengths and you're picking up signals and messages from all around you all the time. Now, if you're rooted and settled and grounded in the Word of God, you know what to do with what you need to do with. Amen. You know what to receive. You know what to reject. You don't dwell on things that you shouldn't dwell on. And you do dwell on things that you should dwell on. Now, that's called peace. All right? So it decides that. And it's a peaceful state, according to the scripture, to which, as members of Christ's one body, you are also called. So, see, the reason why you have to deal with this is because you're called to it. It's not natural. Amen. No. It's not natural for you to just walk around in peace all the time. That's not natural. That's not the world's way. No, but to be cool, never get upset. There's something wrong with you. It's called being saved. It's a good thing. But to the world, you know, they work to get under your skin all the time. And unless they can see you reacting to what they're doing, they don't think you're human. Isn't that right? They do not think you're human if you don't react to what they're saying. You're supposed to get upset. Let's see if we can get her upset today. You say this, and then I'll come around and I'll say that. That's devilish. That's what it is. It's devilish. See? And the Lord gives us an antidote to all of these things. All we have to do is follow His word. That's what Jesus did. One thing about Jesus that I really appreciate is that He was cool, He was calm, and He was collected. And no matter what kind of a situation He got into, He already had a word that He was operating on. See, if He took it, He would go into the mountain and pray all night if He had to. If He had discernment, listen, Jesus knew how to respond to things. No doubt Jesus had discernment about some of the things that were going to happen the next day. And He just said, this is a good time to pull away and pray. Amen. So He leaves the disciples. He don't tell them everything. He leaves the disciples. He pulls away because He don't want to be disturbed. He's going to spend time with His Father. He's going to get His mind right. He's going to be in the right position He needs to be in because of the things that He's about to face the next day. And He's going to have a word from God, and He's going to be able to stand on that word of God. And no matter what the devil throws at Him, He's going to be cool. He's going to be calm. He's going to be collected. Amen. He's going to stand His ground. Praise the Lord. Now, that's necessary if somebody's going to need healing. Because if you wear your feelings on your sleeve all the time, right, you're not going to do anything for God. You're too emotional. See? And so Jesus had to always, and you think, well, Jesus wasn't emotional like that. And listen, His Father is emotional. He got so upset, he sent hailstones down and whoop your behind. He's very emotional, right? I mean, God did dramatic things. I mean, these are just people. You don't have to open up the ground to kill them. They're just people. Amen? My God, he just like... You know how you are with your kids. Get out of my sight. That's what he did. Get out of my sight. Amen. Oh, he's very emotional. But he's a righteous and he's a just God. And he takes action when it needs to be taken. But Jesus could not act in his Godhood in some of the things that he was doing. So he wasn't going to act like God in that sense. He had to act like the prophet that he was sent to be in human form, which means that he had to draw on godly things, which were miracles, you know, deliverances and things like that. He had to draw on that and deliver it to the people, right? In the midst of all of the turmoil that Jesus went through, he met needs. Amen. Come on now. Amen. In your trials, tribulations, in your tests, are you dispensing the glory or are you letting off steam? Something's coming off you, but is it glory? Let's look. What's that? What's coming off of you? Heat? I'm hot. Praise the Lord. No, you're supposed to be dispensing glory. No, the pressure is put on Jesus in many instances. He could have been upset. He would have been right. He would have been just to take action against it, but instead his heart was in tune with the need of those that God said he was to have a rendezvous that day. He didn't get his mind off of his purpose because people tried to draw him into things. Amen. Concentrating on the will of God all the time. All the time. It's a state of peace. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from the state of peace. I'm also from the state of favor. Praise the Lord. And the state of blessing. Well, you've moved around a lot, hadn't you? Sure have. Praise the Lord. I used to live in the county of Amen. Amen County. Praise the Lord. It's up there in the north. Where are you from? Don't say, oh, woe is me. Don't say that. Don't say you're from there. Amen. Pick a good place. Praise the Lord. It's a state, and it's where we are to dwell because we're members of Christ, one body, one body. I like the oneness of God because what he calls you to, he calls me to. Amen. So we can all agree on this and we can all speak to each other in that manner so that we can assure them that we're all walking in that place. So when you talk to me, you got to talk to me like I'm talking to you. You know why a lot of people don't want to be around preachers? Because they want to talk. They don't want to talk back to them what the preacher's talking to them, which is a sign that they don't want to walk in what is being said. See, but you're supposed to talk back to me what I'm talking to you. Come on, let's get together. Praise the Lord. Speak the same thing. We got one self, same faith, serving the one God. Come on, amen. So let's talk back to each other these things. This is the truth, right? That's all that really matters. I don't want to hear anything else, really. Praise the Lord. Well, you don't want to hear about my problems? You don't have any. All you need is faith in God. You don't have any. What do you want to talk about that for? But under these circumstances, but you're not supposed to be under circumstances. You're supposed to speak to circumstances. Isn't that right? So you just have to change the way you think. God is a merciful God. We listened to a testimony today of a person that got a home that they've been speaking over for 28 years. You know, 28 years they spoke over it. But at times they would say dumb things. Now they testified this to us. We didn't ask for it. And I don't think that they fully understood the message of faith so that they could see that they needed to make correction in everything that they said. They were only concentrating on this one thing. But for 28 years, they've been confessing that they were going to live in this home. And it's a big, beautiful home. Beautiful home, right? And the Lord dealt with these people that owned the home to do certain things that they should have been charging them for, because when they went in to look at the home, they didn't like the way it looked with all of the dark paneling and everything. It wasn't any life in there, you know. And this person had a vision of what they believed their home ought to look like, the one that they wanted to have. And they talked about that, but when they walked into this home that they'd been speaking of, the people that owned it before them had designed it in such a way on the inside that it was a drab. And so they said a few negative things about it. But then one afternoon, this particular person was standing there in the house, and they heard a voice behind them, over to this side behind them, say, "I'm trying to bless you." So they stopped and gradually looked back, because it was just like somebody was really there. And they realized it was the Lord. And then the person says, "What do you mean you're trying to bless me? I'm trying to give you the home that you've been speaking over for 28 years, if you'll let me." See? Because all this time that they spoke over it, they were speaking the right thing, but along the way, we want to add a little negative this. We want to say a little something like this and something like that. You know, just mix up your confession a little bit. And the Lord was trying to correct them so that they could have what they wanted. And finally, you know, the beautiful thing about it was that because they waited on God, the person that owned the house went back into the place and totally redesigned, remodeled the inside. And they just happened to go over there thinking that the person that was doing the painting on the house was just the painter. It turned out to be the owner. And when they let him in to show him what he was doing, they saw the house the way they had envisioned it. It was just like they wanted it. So God was preparing a home on the inside just like they had envisioned it. So he was trying to straighten out what they were saying so that they wouldn't conflict with what he was doing for them. Right? See, you got to understand, the walk of faith is strong. God deals with you along the lines of how he wants to bless you. See, he deals with you along the lines of how he wants to bless you. He corrects your speech. He corrects where you go. He corrects how you carry yourself. Amen. Young women want to be married, but they don't dress like a wife. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you think about, well, you know, I got to catch him. You know, but when you catch him, you know, then he's going to make changes. He's going to say, "I don't like that." He just can't, he ain't bold enough to say it now because you're dating. That's right. That's what that is. You know, he can only go so far. You know, you don't belong to him. So he's not going to say, right, he's going to say things in a complimentary way. But after a while, he's going to say, you know, If that short dress enticed me, you know, I don't want you wearing it all the time, because you may have some other guys looking at you too, and now we're married, you know. And so, you know, things change, right? You have to be ready to change, amen, right? You have to be ready to change. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. I was a little bit wild, you know, but I was a calm, wild person. But anyway, I had my wife take off all of her makeup when we got married. But while we were, you know, dating, I didn't say anything about it. But I was kind of an old-line Pentecostal up in there, amen? And so I had a little tradition in me. And it was because of the people I was running around with. Well, I got away from those people, as you can see, praise God. Lovely thing, isn't she? Oh, yes, praise the Lord. But, you know, things do change. But she didn't walk away from it, because I... you know, changed all of a sudden. You know, she said, "Well, Lord, what have I got here? What have I gotten into?" And she adjusted, and then, you know, she prayed for me. I adjusted, and now we have some balance. Go back to the house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, they got the house. And the beautiful thing about it was, the guy was asking so much money for the house, and they were, of the belief that they couldn't afford it. And so what happened was, all of this time This was months that went by that nobody, the man wouldn't even put the house on the market. It could have sold, but God reserved it for them. It could have sold, and yet he didn't allow it to sell. He's working on the house, getting it, you know, just like they wanted it as a couple. And then on top of it, he's dropping the house. Each time, he's dropping the price $10,000 to get them to buy it. Each time. And by the time that he gets to the place, and God begins to encourage them about the time that they're supposed to move in, they're supposed to get this house. And he comes along and he says, all right, now, you need to be ready to make a decision, because he's going to come back to you and offer you this house again, and I want you to have it. And this is the last time you need to act on it. That's what the Lord said to him, right? But by the time the guy gets ready to offer the house to him, he's done put in thousands of dollars of work, new floors, paint the rooms, new carpet, all this stuff. He's new walls. He's done all this remodeling. It turns out that he said to them, he said, well, I went to my CPA, and my CPA says, this is a businessman, that I can drop the house $10,000 more, you know, and sell it, and it won't hurt me. And tax-wise, I'll be able to write that off. And they said, okay, we'll take it. Now, all that money he invested in the house, he turned around and gave it back to them, you know, to get the house where it needed to be, so they got the remodeling job done free, because they would have had to do that themselves. See? Now, if they had gotten out of peace, got worried, got frustrated, somebody else could have come along and got their blessing. Amen. So this is a place, it's called a state. See, there are states that God calls us to dwell in, to remain in, to get our roots, you know, in, and get rooted and grounded in those places. That's what he wants for us. Because he doesn't want us to, you know, knock things out of order that he's developing for us. Hallelujah. What you believe for, you're supposed to get it. You're supposed to get it. God wants you to have it. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank God they got their home, and it's beautiful, and it's reasonable for them. Praise the Lord. So now, we are, as members of Christ, one body, called to live there. Amen? To be thankful, giving praise to God always. Amen? So we stay in an attitude of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Now, the devil can't deal with that, because when he's hitting you with things and you're thankful to God and you're praising God, he thinks that you should be responding to him. But instead, you're responding to God. So that confuses him. That's a good thing. That's the way you steal the enemy, right? All right, so let the word spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have his home in your hearts and minds. So this is that state. This is what happens in that state that you're dwelling in. You are letting the words of Christ have his home in your heart. If it has its home in your heart, then you stay in that place in your meditation, in your thoughts. You go to sleep thinking that way. You wake up in the morning thinking that way. And you're in a peaceful state. And it's just obvious to you when the devil's trying to intrude and bring something into your thoughts that's not of God. So you just stop it and begin to think on those things deliberately that the Lord told you to think on. I practiced that this morning. I just went through a little exercise. See, I know some scriptures that I like to quote sometimes as I go into prayer. And one of them is, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name for deep helplessness and simple childlike rest and trust. We don't ask for anything more than you can give, but we will not receive anything less. And then I've got some other stuff that I say as well. And that kind of leads me, because, you know, Jesus said, pray like this: our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, that's what I was doing. I just didn't use the Lord's Prayer. And so I've just practiced it this morning, you know, as an exercise just to get my mind tuned up, you know. No, I'm getting ready to come to the house of the Lord, deal with spiritual people, amen. Deal with some good old stuff in the spirit. So I just begin to just, in a very peaceful state, lay there. And I'm still partly asleep, but I'm doing it anyway. And so I began the repetition in my mind, and I'd get so far, and the devil would just run in there with something else and say, hey, such and such and such and such. And then I'd realize, okay, all right, let's try that again. And I'd start again. I'd go through the whole repertoire. I'd get so far, and he'd run in there, and he'd bring a disturbance. That happened at least 4 times before I was able to get all the way through what I just did. See? Now, that's a good example to show you what happens to us day in and day out. And if you don't take authority over it, you get off your course. See? I just wouldn't give up. I went back and just kept doing it until I got all the way through it. Now, I'm halfway asleep, but that doesn't mean I can't operate halfway asleep. Right? See? Because, see, that's a good example of you being busy during the day. You got stuff on your mind. You got a job to do. You're concerned about things, but that doesn't mean you can't think on things above. But you have to practice it. Look at there. There you got another revelation. You have to practice peace. You have to practice being peaceful. Amen? You have to make it a general practice every day. And for what? Not just so you can be calm and enjoy the day. Because God speaks in that place of peace. He guides in that place of peace. Amen. He gives revelation in that place of peace. There's a lot that God wants to do that he's not able to accomplish until he can get his people settled. He's not going to do anything in the earth apart from you and me. He called you to do it. He will accomplish it, but he's got to use you. Right? All right. And it's going to be something, you know, when you get to heaven and you'll be able to look at your whole life in just a span and see all of those little blurps in there where you miss God, you know. It's kind of like looking at a graph and it goes, boop, whoop, miss God there, whoop, miss God there, you know. And it's not going to be judgmental. It's just going to show you that you had purpose as long as you were breathing. Throughout every day of your life, there's something that can be accomplished. Every day, there's something that can be accomplished for God. You're right. I was on my way out from my work the other day, went around the corner and found 2 people to pray for, just like that. And I didn't ask for it. Right? Lady sitting in a wheelchair type thing. I spoke to her and she started talking about what was wrong with her. I said, well, let's just pray about that. God wants you well. Laid hands on a woman and prayed for her, told her, now you need to act on it. You need to move around, do something that you can't do. Well, I didn't know that her son was standing behind some kind of fixture over there, and he's back in there watching me while I'm praying for his mama. And so he comes out and said, I'm in bad shape too. He liked that, you know? And I said, really? He said, yeah, come here and feel this right here. I got braces on both knees. He just made me pray for him. I mean, I'm in a busy place. People's going by and they're talking all loud, you know. It's kind of like Bill Winston's thing. You know, Bill Winston was one time at a meeting. He had been flown out to this meeting. And he had a little time before the meeting started. And so he was going to go down to the McDonald's and get him a cup of coffee or some tea or something like that, you know. So and the guy that was driving him for that meeting said, you want me to take it? I said, no, nice day, I'll just walk. So he just took off and he started walking down the road, you know. It wasn't very far, about a block to get to McDonald's. Got down there, and about the time he got up to where McDonald's was, there's this kind of heavyset black woman across the street. And she just starts yelling, oh, thank you, Jesus, I knew I was going to get blessed today. He looks and said, oh, Lord. And I mean, she can't hardly walk. She's got this thing, you know. She coming across the road and she's just praising God. I knew it. I knew it. God said I was going to get my blessing today. He's in the McDonald's. She throws the door open at McDonald's and comes in and she's hollering, praise God. I knew I was going to get my breast. That is the man of God. There's the man of God. Now, he's not in no mood to do nothing but get him a cup of coffee. And he's like, oh, Lord. It really sounds embarrassing, doesn't it? You can imagine that. And he said, you know, it's one of those things kind of like when Paul was being followed by the woman that had the demons saying, this is the man of God. You know, you listen to what he's saying. Paul just got frustrated and turned around and said, you come out of there, you devil. He just got frustrated from hearing it so much. So Bill just turns around and says, oh, I might as well pray for her. He prayed for her. She goes, ah! He throws her cane. I told you. And so the woman was healed. Just like that. You don't know when God's going to use you. You can't be saved today and in your own world tomorrow. Amen. Instant in season and out of season. See, that's why there's got to be some balance in our lives. We can't be just, you know, call home to see how she doing before you come because you want to walk into a peaceful state. You just don't know, man, the way she's been acting the last few days. Hey, honey, how you doing? Well, I'm going to go over by Brother Such and So for a little bit. I'll be home after a while. I love you. Any man in the sound mind ain't going to walk up into no lion's den when he's supposed to be going home to his palace. Right? Amen. So we're supposed to live in that place. There's always something for us to do. You never know when God's going to use you. I mean, sometimes he surprises you. I didn't have no choice but to pray for that family. I didn't have no choice in it. I just got thrust into it. And God knows, man, something great can come out of that. They could both be in their churches today just dancing and praising God and talking about how Pastor Ford prayed for us up in the store, man, and we got our healing. Glory to God. Next thing you know, I can't help nobody if everybody got a prayer line up there at the register. My Lord, good thing I'm retiring. I can't make no money up in here today. I got to pray for everybody. Praise the Lord. It can work that way. And it has worked that way. Who was it? Sister Nancy Haney, who has ministered here three or more times. At home there in Alaska, can't think of the name of her hometown right now, but for several times, God just told her to go over to where the salads are in the grocery store where people come to get the little bags of salad and just stand there. And all she had to do was just go over there and stand where the salads were, and people would come up and she would minister to them. That's all she had to do. So, I mean, God does things in different ways than what you and I think he should do, right? Man, I can't wait to get caught in traffic again in somewhere like Atlanta so I can get outside the car and have a service. I'm going to be there for 30 minutes anyway. My God, man, you got a captive audience. Glory to God! Got good news! Jesus is coming! Praise God. You just forget about time. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Well, God has got some special things for every one of us. He really does. We just need to be in that state of peace, be free, and the glory of God is going to be manifested in your life. It's not a hard thing. This is not something that you just fast your way into and do all of this prayer and all of this regiment, because then, I mean, if you got it that way, then it would be your works. You understand what I'm saying? It would be your works. And you're not going to be able to bring glory to God at all based on the works that you performed in order to get God to do something. It's different now. Jesus has done all of the work that needs to be done. We need to believe. That's all God expects you and I to do is just believe. He's going to give you phenomenal things to do, and all he expects you to do is believe. And when you get the believing settled in you and you get your trust settled in you, childlike trust in God, and you realize that you are his instrument and that you are available, it don't have to be spiritual at all, honey. It don't have to be spiritual. You might be at a rodeo, a car race. You might be on the fairgrounds. You know, it really doesn't matter, but except that people are there and they have needs. And God is speaking to some people and telling them to do some stuff. See, how many of you remember the story of Jerry Savelle when he was believing God for his first airplane? Have you ever heard that? You ever heard that? Oh, man, it's a wonderful story. Jerry Savelle is out there now, full-time ministry. He's still in cooperation with Kenneth Copeland in ministry. But God has called him now to step out into his own ministry. And he's been involved with Kenneth Copeland for 40-something years. And he's been to every believer's conference that they do out there in Fort Worth, Texas, every year for 40-something years, as long as they've been doing it. He's the one that has been with them. But anyway, he stepped out in ministry and began to do things. So now he's in a place where the Lord spoke to him and said, you're not going to be able to do everything that I have for you to do, except you get an airplane. And he's like, airplane? He said, yeah, you're going to need an airplane. So I want you to believe for it. He didn't tell him to pay for it. He told him to believe for it. You understand that now? There's a difference. Because you take the pressure on you that you're going to have to pay for it, and you're going to do all of this stuff. That's why we have fish fries. Come on now, yard sales, singings, come on, all right? Try to have all of this stuff to raise money because we think God's called us to pay for all this stuff. No, he didn't. Whatever he's called you to do, he wants to pay for it. All he needs you to do is believe. Well, these people invited him to this place to minister. And so he got there and the folk at the church where he was supposed to minister, when they realized what kind of ministry it was, they didn't want him. So the deacon board rejected him, said, I'm sorry, you know, we didn't know that you were that kind of a preacher. You can't minister here. This is a real traditional church. Well, the guy in the church that really was kind of behind getting him there in the first place came to him and said, you know, you're here now. He said, I'll find another place and you can still minister. He said, all right. He said, well, I got my whole family here, you know, and if you find a place, we'll minister. Well, the guy looked around and he found an old abandoned washerette in terrible condition. Goes and gets Brother Savelle and said, I found a place. Glory to God. Watch it when you see that wild look in people's eyes. I found the place. Took them over there, and the place was all in disrepute. Had broken down washing machines everywhere. They had to get in there and clean the place up. Move all the old washing machines out. He kept one washing machine for a pulpit. Amen. And he's in there preaching, and he had about five people in there for the service. His family and the guy that invited him. That's how to begin. Right? And I mean, it was such a sight that people would walk by and look in the window, and he would motion for them to come in. They said, no, 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 we just want to look. And they wouldn't come in. But then after a while, a few people started coming in. Well, he's up there preaching this one time. Now, believe he's believing for an airplane. He don't know where the money's going to come from. That's not your responsibility. Be thinking about where the money's going to come from. Because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He'll bring the money from Pharaoh if he has to. It doesn't make him any different because it's his money. There's just wicked people holding it. There's godly people holding it. But whoever will obey him is who he's going to use to bring the money. Sometimes Christians don't obey him. Amen. With Oral Roberts, it was a guy that owned a dog racetrack that helped him when the Christians was all judging him and misquoting what he said. But anyway, back to Jerry. Jerry's preaching. He's preaching. And all of a sudden, he sees this guy pull up in this big pickup truck. He gets out. He's got on bib overalls and a straw hat. And you can tell he's country. He's walking in. And instead of coming in and sitting down, Jerry's preaching. Instead of him coming in and sitting down, the guy walks straight up to the washing machine pulpit. And he begins to talk to him. He said, I don't do nothing unless God tells me to do it. He said, yes, sir. He said, my name's what? What did he say? It was something like Grub. It was funny. It was a country back of the woods name. My name's Grub or Snub or Snuff or something like that. And he said, I don't do nothing except what God tells me to do. Jerry says, I got that. Now, why are you here? And he said, well, I was on my tractor and God spoke to me and told me to come over here because there was a young preacher preaching over here that needed an airplane. Huh? And this man says, he starts going right back into his repetition, and I don't do nothing God tells me except what God tells me to do. He said, I would be right there on my tractor right now plowing if God hadn't told me to get off my tractor and go up there and find that preacher. And he just went over the same thing over and over again, you know. And finally, he says, God told me to get this money and to give it to you. And he started reaching down into his overall and just piled money all up around Jerry Savelle's feet. Pile of money. The man was loaded, but he looked like a bum because he'd been working out there on the farm. See? Now, you wouldn't have believed that God would have used somebody so back of the woods to come up and bless you to get you started in your apprehension of an airplane like that. You think about a businessman, corporate man, you know, somebody from Wall Street. Rich businessman, you know. But God has got a sense of humor, folks. You got to lighten up. You're too spiritual. You got to lighten up. God's going to, he's going to loosen your screws a little bit. That was so hilarious. My side cracked open, mended up and cracked again when I heard that story. Because I could see that guy, you know. He was just as country as he could be. And then after he gave him the money, he said, well, bye-bye, you'll never see me again unless God tells me to come back. And he just went back out, got in his truck, and took off. That was the beginning. That wasn't enough money to pay for his airplane, but it was the biggest offering that he had received so far, and it was a step in the right direction. Now, I use those stories that I've heard to help you to see what kind of action you need to take and how you need to stand in faith believing. Whatever God's called you to, he's going to supply your provision to get that job done. Amen. Amen. But relax here a little bit now. He didn't tell you to go get a second job. Amen. He's going to provide. And he's got a marvelous way to do it. Hallelujah. We're talking about operating in the glory. Rediscovering the glory as believers today. Why? Because God has a big mission planned for every one of us. Amen. Big mission. He doesn't do small jobs. Hallelujah. That's why some of you have to get over the fear of flying. Right? I mean, you just like, look, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go, right? That's what we like to say. But somebody said, well, yeah, but I don't want to be way up there when it's the pilot's time to go. Amen. Because the Lord said, lo, I'm with you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Actually, the ride that God has ordained for you is a wild ride. It really is. It's a wild ride. It's an adventurous ride. See, it's got twists and turns and highs and lows, and you just abandon all of your fear and just like on a roller coaster and just scream and say, thank you, Jesus! Woo! Woo! And you just go for the ride. Amen. And it's fun, man. It really is. I mean, God does impossible things just because you abandon your fear and stand in faith. One of the greatest stories I ever heard was a man that God called to go overseas and to bring back about 20 orphans years ago. Man, it blessed me so. This guy didn't have the money to get over there. My God, he was in a wartime situation. And the pilot was trying to tell him how much money it was going to cost for him to do all of that. And he was trying to talk him out of it. And that guy just kept talking to him. Man, there's no problem. We can handle it. And he didn't have a dime. He talked that man into flying those kids out of there without a penny. And then he got out of there, got them safely where they needed to be, and he still didn't have to pay for it. All because God said to do it. If God said to do it, just go do it. Amen. Jesse Duplantis was in a situation early in his ministry one time, and God told him, he said, I need a car. And the Lord said, you want me to go with you? He said, no, I can handle this. He said, but he thought about it, and he said, do you want to go? He said, yeah, I'd like to go with you. So he went with him to the car lot, and he goes out there on the car lot, and he begins to look. The car salesman comes out and everything, starts talking to him. And he said, yeah, I came to get a car today. And he starts looking, and he sees something he likes, and the Lord said, nope, that's not the one. That's not the one. He told him he's going to give him a car, and he told him how much he's going to pay for it. So how much he's going to pay for it. And he's looking, and he comes to this silver car. And the Lord said, that's the one. He didn't like it at first. But that's the one God liked. Yeah, that's the one God liked. So he said, that's the one right there. That's the one God said right there. So they went inside, and they began to talk about the deal. And he told them how much God said he was supposed to pay. And the dealer looked at him and said, man, God cuts a good deal, don't he? You know? Jesse says to him, he said, look, God said you're supposed to sell this car to me at that price. Either sell the car to me at that price or somebody's going to go to hell. You know? And the guy said, let me go speak to my manager. So he goes and he speaks to his manager, and the manager comes out and says, God says we're going to go to hell if we don't sell this car to you at this price. He said, yep, that's what God said. Somebody's going to go to hell if you don't sell it at this price. And you can understand, Jesse is the only one that God can talk to like that, right? And that will repeat it. And so the manager said, well, ain't nobody up in here want to go to hell today, so I guess we're going to sell it to you at this price. All because he took God with him to go shopping. Amen. God's providing for us all the time. And it's hilarious, but you've got to stand on what God says. When God told Jerry Savelle that he needed to get an airplane, he was just working along there before this man came and gave him that offer and just doing his thing, you know, just believing God's going to give him an airplane. And the Lord spoke to him one day and said, you believe that I would give you an airplane. Well, I do, Lord. He said, but you're not doing anything about it. He said, well, what am I supposed to do? He said, where are you going to put it? You going to park it in your backyard? So he moved on him to go and talk to a guy that had hangers for airplanes. So he went in there to talk to the guy that had the hangers for the airplanes and said, I need a hanger for an airplane. The guy said, we don't have any. He said, and beside that, we got a list in here so long that, you know, man, it'd take quite a while for you to get a hanger around here. We just don't have one available. He said, well, God said you had one. Huh? He said, what do you mean God said I had one? He said, well, you know, God told me to come over and get a hanger. Now I got to have a hanger before I leave today. Right? Sometimes God can deal with you in such a way and it'll just aggravate the dickens out of you and you just go crazy. You just start saying stuff. And you'll sound ridiculous, but it'll be your faith talking. And he said, you know, well, he said, sir, I'll fill out this form. He said, now, I don't have anything for you, but you fill out this form and I'll put your name on the list. So he starts to fill out the form. And on the form, it asks you what color the plane is. It asks you some other stuff. And he didn't know what to put down. So he said, you know, beautiful. Beautiful, you know. You know, is it a twin engine or a single engine? I don't know. Because he hadn't got it yet. So he put down honestly what he knew on the form. The guy looks at it and says, you don't know what color it is. You don't know if it's a twin engine. He said, man, you don't fill out a form like this. He said, I don't know what it is. God told me I was going to have a plane. I ain't got it yet. The guy said, okay. You know, okay. He accepted his form, right? Guess what? Before he walked out of that day, the guy gave him a hanger that he didn't have. He said he didn't have any available because he stood on what God said. God tells you things to do in impossible situations, and you got to stand on the word of God in that impossible situation if you're going to have what God says. God doesn't tell you to do things that are possible. God tells you to do things that are impossible. That's the only area that God works in is the impossibility. See? He changes laws. Right? He changes the law of gravity. Jesus ascended into heaven. He wasn't supposed to be able to do that. He broke the law of gravity and just went right up into heaven, standing up. Amen. Breaking the laws, man. Jesus did it all the time. He spoke into situations and just changed them, breaking the natural laws of humanity and this earth realm to accomplish what was the will of God. He wasn't doing his own thing. He was doing exactly what God told him to do, but it was impossible because when you die, you're supposed to stay dead. Aren't you? Right? I mean, that's a terrible situation. You know, you done paid your life insurance, you die, they pay off your spouse, you raised from the dead, you got to give the money back. You paid for the casket and the grave site, they can't put you in it. And you cause a lot of people a lot of turmoil and a lot of work by doing the impossible, but it brings glory to God. I mean, God, he's tickled by that. He's just having a ball, man. He's just like, look at him go, boy. He's looking at people that think things are supposed to be set in stone. And God said, wait a minute, I created the stones. Right? Things don't have to stay the way that you see them. Just because you see them don't mean it's real. It's not real because you see it. It's real, only real because God says it. Right? So what you're looking at, you need to ask God, what's real? And let him speak to you. Amen. And what you're looking at can change. It can change in an instant. That's salvation. I once was blind. All of a sudden, I'm seeing all kinds of stuff. Man, I see God. I see love. Before, I was seeing hatred. I was seeing division. Now my eyes are set on something totally different. All because I gave my heart to Jesus. I don't know why it is that we think things are so hard, man. The hardest thing that's ever happened in your life was to get you saved. That was the most difficult thing that ever happened in your life because you were fighting God. You wanted to go to hell. And God said, no, I'm not letting you do that. Yeah, but I want to. No, I don't want you to. I have a plan for you. And he changed all of that, right? By the Holy Ghost, by grace through faith, you were saved. And here you are today. I mean, you're a totally different person. Totally different. You're new. All things have become new. You love God. You want to do God's will. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. That was the greatest thing you've ever experienced. All this other stuff is just a piece of cake. We're supposed to have fun with the rest of it. It's not supposed to be a burden. We're supposed to have fun. We're supposed to get on this wild ride with the Lord Jesus and have a ball and enjoy our lives because he's doing all the work. I'm just seeing him do stuff and I just hilariously just dive in and say, I saw Jesus do it, so I'm doing it. Right? Right? That's the reason the Gideon story was the way it was. He said, watch me and what I do, you do. Right? So he broke that pitcher, they broke the pitcher. He said the sword of Gideon and the sword of the Lord, and they did the same thing. They watched them. You watch God. Do what God tells you to do, and it'll work. Amen. It'll work. We don't follow ourselves, do we? No. We don't follow a man. No. We follow the Lord. Amen. Amen. And it's fun. This is the best time of our life. It's the worst time for the world, but it's the best time for believers because we get to do what God's called us to do in the most difficult of times, and God gets glorified. And that's why he wants you to be mindful of rediscovering the glory of God because you're not supposed to be stressing out and trying to live your life all by yourself and do everything that you think you're called to do in your own strength. There's just no way that you're going to get it done in yourself. You'll never be good enough. And you'll never, ever do everything absolutely perfect. You never will. No matter how close you get to God, you never will. Right? You just won't do it. See, because, and it's not based on your being perfect. It's not based on you doing everything right. But it is based on what you believe. It's based on your faith. It's based on that. I have to be willing to abandon everything for the Lord. I got to be willing to abandon the self-estimation that I have. And I have to be willing to abandon my pride and my ego. And I have to just choose to live my life to see what God is doing and then implement that. That's the way I have to live. See? So every time I approach something, I look to see what God would do in that situation. Whatever it is. Look to see what he would do. Listen to see what he would say. Yeah? When you're in a situation and you need to give something, you look to see what God would have you to give. Because the blessing is on what you give in obedience. It's not on the amount. It's what you see God showing you to do. It's amazing how large blessings can come on a small amount that's given in obedience. And then great blessings can come on a large amount when given in obedience. But it's all about obedience. It's all about doing. It's all practice in doing what you see God telling you to do. It's not reaching down and trying to determine on your own, this would be a sacrifice. No, it's not a sacrifice because you thought it up. No, that's not a sacrifice. A sacrifice is doing what God shows you to do. And that's what he loves. That's what he's thrilled over us when we'll just abandon all of this stuff that we collected over the years in ourselves and our personalities and our families and our ethnicity and all of this stuff. We just load it down with so much stuff, right? So much stuff, man. And we could be so much freer. And we could minister to anybody. Praise God. Black man could walk up to a Ku Klux Klan meeting and say, boy, I just love you guys. Oh, man, God just told me to come over and tell you he loves you, I love you, and God bless you. Amen. They just drop their capes and just start praying. I mean, you can't put God in a box, man. There's no law against love. See? Now, you might make a whole lot of black people angry because they think you're crazy going over there doing that. In their ethnicity, if they're all black and black and black and black, black on the outside, black on the inside, black in their soul. You understand what I'm saying? There ain't much deliverance for a person that's just caught up in their ethnicity to the point that they think that they're so great that they need to get justice for everything done to them. You know, it ain't your job to get justice for every evil done to you. Jesus took all that. The greatest injustice has ever been done to you is the devil. And Jesus took all of that penalty of injustice upon him on the cross. You ought to be thankful. Amen. And look to him, the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. And live your life according to that. I don't know what I am, but I do know I'm a Christian. I know I'm in brown skin, but that don't mean that my beginnings was that. Huh? That's right. I don't care how black you are. It don't mean that the person that really brought you into the world in the beginning and your genealogy was black. It don't mean that, man. We got a mixture out here. Right? Even as far back as the Jews, they have a mixed race. That's why it amazed me the first time I saw Ethiopians coming back to Jerusalem. Black Jews. I was like, what? Man, it opened my eyes. I was like, whoa! Speaking Hebrew, man. Black Jews speaking Hebrew. I was like, all right now. Glory to God. I like that stuff. Okay? See, your existence, let's just do it this way. Your DNA is in God. He thought of you. He is the one that called you forth. But because you came into the earth realm, you had to go through some channels. Amen. To get where you needed to be. He needed me to be here in America. He needed you to be here. So you had to go through some channels, but you came from God. You came from God. And you just don't know what channels you went through to get over here. Amen. So it doesn't matter about that. That's why he says in him, in this verse that we read earlier today, there's not Greek, there's not Scythian, there's not Jew, there's not circumcised nor uncircumcised, there's not male or female. That's a person, when they realize that, that is absolutely, completely free to do God's will. It has nothing whatsoever to do with anything human at all. Has nothing to do with anything sensibly that I can look at in the natural and say this or that. Has nothing to do with that whatsoever. But God, a woman's never done that. Who said you had to be a woman to do it? Amen. Who said you had to be a man to do it? See, you're not limited. Say, I'm not limited. I have the favor of God. It's on my life. It follows me everywhere I go. And I accept the power of favor to accomplish God's will on my life as I rediscover the glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Give him a hand of praise.